to be back from the beach. We had the best time. And I know y'all enjoyed hearing Renee's daughter, Amy, last week and her work. That was a blessing to them to get to have this platform and to you to get to hear what God is doing in their life. I've scattered out around on tables baby bottles. This is from the Center for Pregnancy Choices that is in Macomb. My dear friend Cecile runs that. And their one fundraiser every year is to pass out baby bottles to churches and to organizations. And you put your change in it, or you put your dollars in it, you know, like your $5 bill, your 10, your 20, your hundreds. And then you bring it back to church, and I'm going to turn it in, and they'll come and pick it up. So take one, fill it with your money, and bring it back. And this morning, believe it or not, we're going to have our last lesson on our book study, Habits of Grace. Let's open with a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're so grateful for the fellowship that we have in our church. We're so, so very happy about being in the family of God. And as I pray this morning, I'm mindful that who is sitting before me are actually my sisters. Sisters in Christ. Lord, when you saved us, you bonded us together through your Holy Spirit and placed us in Christ. Father, we think about the body that's all over this world this morning. They're meeting together in places of worship. Father, I pray for our body here in Brookhaven. I pray for the body of our Sunday school class. Lord, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would knit our hearts together in deep relationships with one another, that we might esteem others as better than ourselves, that we might truly have the deep Holy Spirit humility in our hearts. Teach us how to be women who listen well, who care well, women who are all about helping others, helping each other here in the body of Christ, women who are giving, women who are under authority, women, Father, who pray and who read their word every day and who come and are committed to being in this place on Sunday mornings and really being in very intentional about taking part and being committed and serving, laying down our lives for the gospel. So, Father, this morning as we close this study, I pray, God, that you would bless us, that you would speak to us, that you would build community among us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. We started our study on January 18th. That's been a long time. That's actually been 5 months ago. And this is our 19th lesson in this study. And it's Habits of Grace, pathways that bring us into greater dimensions of the grace of God. And basically, there are just three of them. The main one would be God's Word. As we get in God's Word, as we're just reading it daily on our own, as we're coming and we're hearing it taught, as we are in all the many ways receiving the Word of God into our lives, God's grace comes to us in fuller measures. We're saved by grace. We live by grace. Without God's grace, we can do nothing. Nothing. So I feel that we have so much to learn. We've been looking at this third one, fellowship. I could call it body life. I feel like we have so much to learn when it comes to experiencing life together in the body. I'm sad I don't know more about your life as your Sunday school teacher. Because we need to be sharing our life together. Now, I have a family. I have three sisters, and they are really my besties. In fact, one of my sisters came on vacation with us, and we just had the best time together. I know everything about her. She knows everything about me. And that's what it is to be in a family. If she needs me, I'm there. If I need her, she's there. In fact, last night I was on the phone with her. I had this situation. What do you think I should say? And we were texting back and forth. And she says, this is so funny. Well, I asked Chad, and this is what Chad thinks she should say. I'm like, oh, that's really good. I like it. But we have a lot to learn. You know, we're living in 2026, and the church across America, I feel, needs to grow in regards to what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. Would you agree with me? Are you satisfied? Do you want to grow in that area? I personally believe we've only scratched the surface when it comes to experiencing life together in the body. It's a subject I don't want to stop studying. It's a subject I want to continue exploring. It's a subject I want to pray about. I want us to grow in this. So we're going to do something a little different this morning. I usually do a lot of lecture, but I want us to get around tables this morning and interact with each other. So if you're at a table by yourself, go to a table with other people. And the more at the table, the better. So when I join another table, you're all by yourself. And so I want to start out by looking at that first box on your handout. And I'm going to give you about a minute and a half, and I'm going to ask you to fill that box with as many details about yourself as you can. So listen to what I wrote in that box. These are details about me. This will give you an idea of what I want you to write. I'm 73. I have 21 grandchildren. I've been married for almost 54 years. I love my husband. I met him when I was 16 years old. I taught school for 2 years. I graduated from the University of Southern Mississippi in elementary education. I had 5 children in 7 years. I lived in Brookhaven. I have lived in Brookhaven for 50 years last January. I love watching my grandchildren in everything they do. They do it all kinds of sports, all kinds of extracurricular things, and I'm coming and going all the time watching them. I love TJ Maxx. I love going to walk around Buds and Blooms. It's therapy. It's absolute therapy. I like learning. I like the beach. I love reading. I love gardening. I love flowers. I love to read biographies. I love studying. I love teaching. I love traveling and going on mission trips. I don't like exercise. This is something you don't know about me. I can build the most amazing sandcastles. I had a friend who was an artist, and one year we were at the beach together, and she taught me how to make amazing sandcastles. I've been doing it ever since. I love my sisters. I love outrageous shoes. I love spa music. Isn't that weird? Sometimes I just put spa music on in the house, and it's so relaxing. And I love to get a massage. Oh, they're the best. I have a dog named Bitsy that I love. I have a cat named Gypsy that I love. That gives you an idea of what I want you to write. So I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. I want you to fill your box up with as many details about yourself. Think of things somebody wouldn't know and write it down. So wake your brain up and start writing. Did everybody get a chance to share? I hope you did. We could go on for a long time. Did you learn some things you didn't know?
Yes.
You did, didn't you? I know. There you go. When you take the subject of fellowship, it's a very rich topic. And the book of Acts tells us that not only did the first Christians devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, but to fellowship. Look at it on your handout, Acts 2:42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. I love the word devoted. It's a beautiful word. I put on your handout a definition. Look at it with me. Devoted means very loving or loyal. And then another definition, to give all or a large part of one's time or resources to a person, an activity, or a cause. The next thing I want you to do is go to the next square and write down the things you are devoted to in your life. What are the things that you are lovingly loyal to? What are the things in your life that you give a large part of your time and your resources to? So write down, go. I'm going to give you just a few, but maybe 45 seconds. Just call out some things you wrote down. What are you devoted to?
God.
Family.
Jesus.
Family. Jesus.
Freedom. The Bible.
Singing.
Laundry.
Laundry. It does take a large part of our time and resources. You're right about that.
Sunday school class.
Sunday school class.
And teacher.
Grandchildren. Husband.
Health.
Fitness, your health. How many of you give a lot of time and attention to exercise? You know I don't do that, but some of you do.
Faith.
Say it again.
Faith.
Faith. Good.
Cooking meals.
Cooking meals, that's right.
Your house.
Your home, that's right. What are some ways that we are devoted to the fellowship? It said they were devoted to fellowship. What does being devoted to the fellowship of the body look like? Is that a box? Did I put that as a box? What does devoted to your church look like? Did I do that? Okay, devoted. Well, let's say that. Devoted to one another as the body. Write down some ideas. What does that look like? Oh, Aaron, what you want to say?
I'm sorry, but I'm devoted to my church members and my pastor.
All right, good deal. So write down, what does that look like to be devoted to each other in the body? A little more thought-provoking. All right, give me your ideas. All right, go ahead.
Serving and loving in action.
Okay, she's talking about service. It plays out in her action. All right, what are some service things? Give me some ideas here. What?
Listening to others when they talk.
All right, listening.
Take meals.
Take meals. That's really a big way to love on others.
Notes of encouragement.
Oh, fabulous. Taking the time to write a personal note. What an act of service and love. Don't you love to get a personal note in the mail for no reason? You know, it's better than getting a birthday card that says, from your friends at wherever, you know, happy birthday from your friends. Well, what friends? I don't know your name. You know, I want something personal. Aaron?
Praying for them.
All right, prayer. Very good. Letting people know. All right, somebody else? I heard somebody say something. All right. Say it again.
Taylor
says something. Be in there, yeah. Taylor, what'd you say? Did Taylor say something?
Yeah, she said being nice.
Being nice, that's good. Yes, as opposed to being grumpy, actually. All right.
Welcoming.
That means you have to open your eyes. Someone's new. I haven't seen you before. What's your name? Tell Welcome. I'm glad you're here. That's important. That's a wonderful way.
And if we're at Walmart and there's an elderly person trying to unload groceries, I like to try to help them.
That's good.
And just say, God loves you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Just being a help. All right. What does being devoted to our fellowship look like? Okay, so you're devoted to Sunday school. What is that going to look like in your life? All right, that's important. You're going to be there. If I'm really devoted to my church.
Taking the lesson to heart and practicing it.
Absolutely. That's why I do a handout. You can take your handout home. You can look at it in your quiet time. You can ruminate on it. That's what a sheep does. Did you know a sheep has a cud? They chew a cud, just like a cow. And so as they're out in their fields, they regurgitate their cud, and they chew on it a while. And that's what you can do with what you learn at church. Take to heart everything.
Not talk negatively about your staff in your church.
Very good. All right, Erin?
And I also put sending food to them during their time of loss of a loved one.
All right, that's important. Just loving on people. Look at John 13:35 on your handout. By this all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Well, I really want other people to know that I'm a disciple of the Lord. Well, how are they going to know? They're going to know by watching my life. And they're going to see me loving other people well. Look at Hebrews 10:24-25. And there it says, let us consider. Let's take time. Let's think about it. Let's give it a priority. How to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together. Well, does it really matter if I go to church? Yeah, it does. It really matters. It matters in fellowship. It matters in body life. If you aren't here, you can't experience body life together. If you aren't here, you can't know what's happening in the body. So, when we love well, it's a means of grace that is beyond calculation in its value. It causes other people to want to come and be a part. It's irresistible. We talked in our study, we had several weeks on family and on body life. And we talked about the fact that when you're in the body, you're in covenant with one another. It's the new covenant of grace. We're in Christ. We have commitments to each other. We've made commitments. We're family. You matter. I matter. We're partners together as we circle around God's word and as we circle around the gospel. And this produces conditions for great growth in our lives spiritually and for flourishing and for bringing joy in our lives. Our church is actually just a local outpost of the kingdom of God, and we have allegiance to one another. Now, brainstorm around your tables. What does it mean to have allegiance to each other? What does that mean, right? Come up with some ideas together and put them in your box. All right, stop and tell me your ideas. What does it look like for us to have allegiance to each other? All right? All right, giving preference is what you're saying to one another. I like that. What else did you put down? What? I love that, the ministry of presence.
Again and again to the same village each week to do ministry.
being there, just being present. That's a wonderful thing. All right, so if I have allegiance, I'm present in your life. Okay, someone spoke.
Be a safe zone and not judge, but serve.
Okay, that's right. Good idea.
Not participate in gossip about
it. Don't participate in gossip.
Take care
of one another. I love that. I put down some ideas, not neglect meeting together. We have allegiance to one another. We're not going to neglect being together. We're going to meet together. That's what body life does. We're going to get close to one another. We're going to stay close. We're going to go deep. We're going to interact with each other. And we're going to do it in such a way that we inspire others to live lives of love and good deeds. One of our lessons was a lesson on listening well. I particularly love that lesson. On our vacation this last week, my son Ben, somebody said, Ben, look at your phone, look at this. And he said, oh, I can't, my phone is bricked. Have any of you heard of that? All you college students know about bricking. I said, what in the world are you talking about? He said, well, I bricked my phone for the whole vacation. I can't get on any of my social media apps. He said, I want to be all in with my family. I said, well, tell me about that. Tell me what that looks like. Well, he says, you buy this thing called the brick. You can get it actually on Amazon. It cost, I looked at it, I think it cost maybe $65, but I can't remember. But basically what you do is you use the brick to block out your social media, and it does it for certain times. He said, I know a man, my friend, he bricks his phone as soon as he leaves work because he wants to go home and really be intentional with his family. He doesn't want to go home, sit on the couch, and scroll mindlessly on his phone for hours. So he leaves the brick at work, and the only way you can unbrick yourself is to tap your phone to the brick and unbrick yourself. And he says he leaves his brick at work so he can't unbrick himself. I said, well, I love that. I'm going to tell my son's school about that. Oh yeah, it cost $65. I see where I wrote it down. All right, let's go to the next box. Around your tables, let's take a minute and let's write down some things about listening skills here. What does listening well look like? And what does it not look like? So write down some things to do, some things not to do. If you want to be a good listener, all right, so go. Write down some things about listening well. Stop and tell me some things. How do you listen well? You put your phone down.
And don't pick it up.
And don't pick it up. Put it out of the way. Put it on silent. All right. Make eye contact. Good. I love that. Other things.
Be open-minded.
All right. Good.
Avoid listening.
All right, I like that, Valana. Avoid listening to respond. Some people are listening only while they're formulating what they're going to say, and they're just waiting to jump into the conversation and give you their mind on the matter. And I liked how David Mathis put it in the book. He said, listen all the way to the caboose before crossing the tracks with your response. Let them finish what they're going to say. Have you ever been talking to somebody and they just interrupt you and then they just take the conversation? You never finished. And you feel like, oh, well, nobody cares about what I want to say. Be in with both ears. Any other ideas? We have to hurry. Learn to ask open-ended questions, not questions that can be answered with a yes or no. Aaron, what did you want to say?
Be quiet.
Yes, very good. if you ask open-ended question, well, tell me what you meant by that. Well, okay, I like that, but let's go a little deeper. You're asking more questions. It's like peeling an onion. You're taking one layer off at a time. You're getting closer to the heart of the onion. Seek to draw other people out. Did you know that listening well? Look at me. It's a ministry. Some of you say, well, Teresa, I'm not good at anything. I don't have a ministry. I don't know what my gifts are. Why not just have the ministry of listening to others well? What a blessing would that be? What a blessing. Just to give with someone and say, I want to know about you. I want to talk with you. I want to get to know you better. And then we went to the book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I pulled some thoughts out of that, Life Together. And I loved what he said about helpfulness in there. That's one way the body ministers to each other. It's just through helping each other. So would you just take a minute? And I really don't have a minute, so I'm not going to let you have it. But what are some ways we can help each other? Just say it out. Pray.
Serve.
Babysit. Let's get practical.
Contact.
I loved Rivenin. Can somebody return my things to Chico's? And Velma could. She was going to Jackson. Did you do that for her, Velma? Thank you. What a way that you were a help, Aaron.
Hang out
together. There's a million ways we can help each other. Here's a thought I want to say. I've got to allow myself to be interrupted by God. You know, we get up in the morning, we have our list, right? And we've got to check that list off. What if we allow God to rearrange our list? What if we would be like the Good Samaritan? He had a busy day and he was on his way, but he stopped when a need was right in front of him. He took that man, he took his time, he took his day, put him on his donkey, took him all the way to the inn, cleaned his wounds, took care of him, and made sure he was taken care of. He even came back to check on him and to pay if more had been spent. You see, he wasn't like those two priests, those two religious men. They were on their way to a busy day, and they did not have time. If you've never watched VeggieTales, that's the funniest VeggieTale. And then one other thing, we've got to be careful how we speak to one another. Look at Ephesians 4. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. It is going to take gobs and gobs and gobs of grace for you to live out those verses. Because our tongue, the Bible says, is like a forest fire. And only the grace of God can control it. But a simple and powerful suggestion to combat our tongues is to absolutely refuse to allow our evil thoughts to ever be expressed in words. They're in your mind. You want to say them. You're thinking them. But you say, no, I'm not letting them come around you. Then we talked about corporate worship. And that's part of fellowship too. And I'm not going to be able to finish our handout. What a sermon Brother Greg has given that really spoke powerfully to you. We talked about preparing your heart to go into the worship service. I mean, you just have that one 30-minute period a week where a monologue is given from God to you, and you are to listen attentively. You do it because you want to be changed. You do it because you want your faith strengthened. You want to be equipped. And then last week, two weeks ago, we looked at baptism and the Lord's Supper and their meaning. I'm sad to leave this study, but today's our final day. And so what are we going to do next? Well, next, you know, the rest of the summer is up and down. I want to go to some of the Psalms, and I want to teach you some Psalms. And I've been studying them. I've been in this book of Psalms for over 2 years now. I love the book of Psalms. And I just have so much in there, I just think we need to discuss this in Oasis. So next week we're going to be taking out several of the Psalms and letting them instruct our hearts on how to live life. But I don't want you to forget this study. I want you to go back to it. Let's pray. You got to go. Our Father, we bless your name together this morning. I praise you for this body of believers that are here in Brookhaven. God, I ask you to strengthen us to knit our hearts together in love and service. I pray, God, that our lives would count for your kingdom here in Brookhaven. We're better together. And I pray, Father, that you would give us allegiance to the body. And I pray that you would, through your Spirit, keep instructing us on how to love each other well. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here. See you next week. Bye.